You're listening to All Action Sports Radio.
This is the Dingo.
Justin Barsha.
Gus Kenworthy.
Kristen Moore.
Paul Rodriguez, a.k.a. P-Rod. And you're listening to All Action Sports Radio. Peace.
All right. Welcome to All Action Sports Radio. Thank you for being a part of our show on your iPad, your iPhone. Any way you do it, I want to thank you. My name is Wes. I'm your host here at All Action Sports Radio. We have a jam-packed show for you today, and we're going to jump right into it. You know, this happened to me at the store. I don't know if it's ever happened to you guys at the store, but I turned to go down this aisle, and this woman sneezed. Like, she didn't cover her mouth. She just blew her sneeze towards me, and I immediately flipped and turned the other way. It was so disgusting. I'd never seen anybody do that in a store, you know? And then I heard her blow her nose, and as I went around to another aisle, I saw her walking with the napkin she blew her nose in, holding it in her hand, like, out, It was the most bizarre, nasty thing I'd ever seen. I thought I'd share that with all of my listeners here at All Action Sports Radio. It went over well in a production meeting. All right, we have a great show this week. We have Jason Weingant from RacerX Online. He's going to be here to talk about Daytona on All Action Sports Radio. And we will have my friend, Tom Walsh. He's an Olympic skier. He didn't make it to the Olympics because of his bad knee, but man, he was a shoo-in. We're going to talk to him about his knee, his future, and what's going on his rehab. We're going to get Brian Deegan, the general, the owner of the Metal Militia. He tweeted about his signature tire that he's got coming out, and we're looking forward to talking to him about that. And the ASP Tour is back and underway. It kicked off in the Gold Coast of Australia, and we have our resident surf expert, Ryan Simmons, back, and he is anxious to get going, and I can't wait to talk to him. Can Kelly go the distance? Is Mick Fanning going to start off the season where he ended it? We will see. Get that? We will see. Did you get that? We will see. Yeah, that's how good I am today. I'm throwing out puns. Our song of the week is Shy Nature, Lie Back. Now, that's a really great tune. We talked about it in our production meeting. And, you know, we put this out there and we tweeted out there our song of the week. If you have a suggestion, idea, or a song, not old but new, breaking, that you want to submit to us here at All Action Sports Radio, you can send it by Gmail at all. We're at allactionsportsradio@gmail.com, or you can tweet it to us as well at allactionsport, no S. Or you can drop it on our Facebook page, and we'll see about getting that for our song of the week here at All Action Sports Radio. We have a great show for you. We want you to stick around. We want you to follow us on Twitter, as I said, All Action Sports Radio, no S. If you want to send in those emails, I do read the emails from time to time when we do have time here on the show. So if you want to send us an email, it's allactionsportsradio@gmail.com. And our Instagram is All Action Sports Radio. Now, coming up on our show, we're going to be talking to Jason Weingant from RacerX Online. So stay tuned. He's coming up next here at All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. And we're back here at All Action Sports Radio. We have a lot of new faces and ears listening to All Action Sports Radio each and every week. And we want to give a big shout out to KUFO 970 AM in Portland, Oregon. Thank you for being a part of our show each and every week. And we're going to step into our motocross segment, one of the segments that I love here at All Action Sports Radio, with Jason Weingant, the RacerX Online editor, who also hosts the TV broadcast of Lucas Oil AMA Motocross and the GENCC series, the largest and one of the most prestigious off-road racing series in the U.S. Jason, welcome back to All Action Sports Radio.
We're pumped, man. We're going to Daytona.
Daytona, baby. Indy, Daytona. This is the best part of Supercross. All right, Weech, he moved into second place in the standings, 23 points behind the three-time defending series champion, Ryan Villopoto. Who saw Dungy coming? I mean, he wasn't our pick for the win in Indy.
Yeah, that's just Dungy being Dungy, though. Like, he's always going to be there, and then if anyone screws up at all, since he's always there, he's got a good opportunity to take advantage. And now we have a strange situation where Villopoto has a very, very large points lead, but the three riders behind him, now Dungy, Roczen, and Stewart, can each point to a race where they had bad luck, broke, and during a crash or whatever, they didn't finish. Villopoto hasn't had one of those races. So I bet you all three of them would say, well, Villopoto will just have one of his own, and we'll be right back there with him.
Speaking of tracks, This is something that was kind of freaking me out. That track got really torn up super early in Indy. How can a track be that bad in a race this big with such a huge audience, TV, riders, everybody behind it? I mean, people almost got killed out there.
I wouldn't say they almost got killed, but there were a whole lot of crashes. But luckily, when the track's that torn up, they're going slower because the track's so difficult, so the crashes aren't as hard. It's all about the scheduling of the stadium. The world doesn't revolve around Supercross as much as we might like it to be. So the NFL Combine can actually be blamed.
Ooh.
Because they finished that thing up on Tuesday, which gave them only, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to build the track. And in that area of the country, this time of year, obviously, it's winter, the dirt's cold and frozen. Within 3 days, it's not going to thaw out. So it was actually frozen water, mud, dirt, still thawing on Saturday. And that's why the track was as bad as it was. It really wasn't anything they could do. The NFL calls the shots, bro.
Yes, they do. But listen, I would beg to differ. KTM's Ivan Tedesco would challenge you on almost getting eaten by a bike with his legs trapped in there.
I've seen guys get pulled into the bike like that, but I've never seen both legs. And as they like to say in racing, he walked away. How lucky was that guy?
Dude, how lucky. It looks so ugly on when you first see it. And the fact that he was able to walk away from that literally was absolutely amazing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, he got lucky on that one. And then, they're going to be showing that highlight clip for years.
For years. Hey, do they find them in any way, like the NFL, MLB? Like, if something's wrong with the setup for Major League Baseball, like the grass isn't right, or the NFL, they get fined heavily. Does that happen in motocross if the track is that bad?
Well, in this case, in Supercross, it's the same people that build the track every single week. It's not like the people in Indy specifically are responsible for that track. It's the same track crew that goes from race to race. Like I said, this was just bad timing, and I'll say, to give them even further a break, almost every one of those races on the East used to be like that years ago. They used to deal with it every week. They've gotten better at fixing it most of the time, so now it really sticks out. But I'm telling you, Atlanta, Indy, St. Louis, Toronto, Detroit, Pontiac, Michigan, they used to look like that every darn week, so it's good that they don't always look like that anymore.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, you know who was a big surprise? Alessi. He came out firing on all cylinders, didn't he?
I'm thinking now that maybe Alessi is better when he's surrounded by drama. It was like the worst week of his life, except for the previous two or three times he's had horrible drama and controversy, and he seems to ride better every time it happens.
Yes! He was crazy, man. He was like, he was a man on a mission. That's what I would say.
Yeah, I think this is crazy, but the Alessis have been involved on the wrong side of it, usually, of controversy almost their entire lives. I'm talking since they were kids, as amateurs. I think that Mike and his family are so used to working under those circumstances that it actually makes them better, because they're just, this is the us against the world, everyone's hating us today. That's the type of work environment they were raised in.
He's got to ride with a chip on his shoulder. That's what he needs. Hey,
yeah,
Hey, hats off to Cole Seeley for stepping in and just killing it, and on such short notice. No one saw that coming, did they?
No, not at all. I mean, literally, we didn't even know he was going to race. The decision was made, I think, on Wednesday night. He rode Tuesday and Wednesday. They said, all right, good enough. But, I mean, he was a place filler at that point.
Yeah.
Marsha was not racing, Trey Kinnard was racing. They just needed a bike in the field. To put it on the podium after only riding the darn bike for 2 days total?
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
that was amazing. So speaking of that, for someone stepping in, Dean Wilson made his 450 debut for 2-2 Motorsports with Chad Reed. Rate him. How did he do?
It wasn't that good. I mean, he got 10th, which is okay, and he went down in the first turn, which is not good. I mean, I don't think it matters, though, because I think Dean was just super nervous, and it was his first time ever racing a 450. Cole Seeley's actually done it a couple times the last few years here and there. So I think every person involved is just like, first race, he was nervous. We weren't seeing what he's really capable of. So he's going to, whether he won the race or finished 20th, I think everyone was just going to give him a free pass for this one.
Yeah, that's what I think so. Hey, yeah. Now we're in Daytona. You know, I'm going to step back on calling these races, but I'm going to feel a little lucky with Ryan Villopoto in Daytona.
Well, the calendar just says that you're due. I mean, it's been a long time since Villopoto's gone.
Yep.
A month and a half without winning a race. Oddly, his points lead is bigger than it's ever been at this point of the year. But one of these weekends, he's got to win, right?
He's got to go, and I think this is the weekend, Daytona. I mean, it's such hollow ground. It's a big arena for him. I know Indy was, but I think that track just gave him too many problems. I think he's going to feel good in Daytona and just do some Villopotoing.
Daytona, well said there. Daytona's cool, though, because if folks that aren't super familiar with this, basically every Supercross is the same. They build a track in a baseball or a football stadium. This one, is the only one that's really, truly different. This is a NASCAR track. They build the track on the little grass part of the infield. It's way different to watch and way different to ride than any other event. So it's kind of cool to have a little change up every once in a while.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Hey, look, next week, let's talk about Martin Davalos in the 250 class. I think he's having a bit of a Cinderella season, and I want to spend some time on that.
Let's do it.
All right, Jason, good luck in Daytona, and we'll talk to you next week.
Can't wait. See you, boys.
All right, coming up next on All Action Sports Radio, we'll have free skiing pioneer, legend, and creative genius Tom Walsh here on All Action Sports Radio. And we're back with All Action Sports Radio. And don't forget, you can always check us out on Facebook at All Action Sport and Twitter, All Action Sport, no S. Coming up later on our show, we have the General, Brian Deegan, FMX Metal Militia. He's coming up in our next segment. But right now, we have the one and only free skier extraordinaire, Tom Walsh. Tom, how are you? Welcome to All Action Sports Radio.
Heck yeah, happy to be here. I'm good, hanging out.
All right, Tom. I mean, for most people who are under a rock in the world outside of skiing and don't know who you are, I'm going to fill them in a little bit, okay?
If you
indulge me just a little bit. Now, you got your break with Level 1 with the Super Unknown contest, right?
Yeah, a little online video contest. So got known from that for the first time.
And then you went on to win gold at the X Games?
Yep, go with the X Games. A little bit of time in between there, a couple of years, getting known, putting out internet videos and entering a couple other contests, working my way up. But then, yeah, winning the gold at the X Games in 2012 is definitely a big highlight for me.
And then you capped it off with the 2013 FIS Freestyle World Ski Championship, winning gold there in slopestyle.
Yeah, it was amazing. Yeah, world championship, big event for us, and cool to go out there and get the gold.
Now, I'm going to do a little quote for you, okay?
Yeah.
All right, listen up, peeps. He is the face of our sport because of what he does daily, not because of the Olympics. He's the same dude, that kid, he was before his fame. The respect he gets and recognition he gets is beyond any single event that those other guys will never have. He skis for the fun of it.
Wow. A lot of kind words there.
That was a direct quote.
Hopefully that describes me.
That was a direct quote from one of the free skiing, fathers, legends, owners from Line Skis, Jason Leventhal. Gave me that direct quote. Yes, and you know what? Coming from that guy who's as core as it gets, that means something. Because everyone should know, Tom, that were not for your knee problems, you probably would be winning gold at the Sochi Olympics, right?
Yeah, I'd like to think I would have had a good fighting chance out there to win a gold.
Now, you have how is the knee? You had an ACL injury, right?
Yeah. This October, I tore my ACL training for the Olympics down in New Zealand with the U.S. team, and with the Olympics so close, there wasn't enough time to get it fixed, to get surgery, anything like that. So this whole season, I tried to without my ACL and to perform and ski on this level and do all these tricks without it, and it was hard. It was, it's something not a lot of people can or should ever do. It's definitely dangerous. A lot of things you can go wrong. A lot of things you can hurt in your knee. But with the Olympics, it was such a big year. I had to try. So, I skied injured and hurt and in pain and kind of frustrated all season and wasn't able to put together, enough results to let the U.S. team, bring me along. But recently I just had it reconstructed. I had surgery, and now I'm about a week out from surgery and well on my way to recovery. So looking forward to, spending the summer off of my skis and getting back next winter stronger and better than ever, hopefully.
You know, Jason called you the people's champion, and I concur with that 100%. And, you know, Ken Gusworthy, Josh Christensen, and Nick Gepper, they deserved everything they got. They swept it. They brought it home. But, you know, we have Jeff Schmuck on from SBC Skier Magazine, and we talk skiing virtually every week here at All Action Sports Radio, and he sings your praises unrelentlessly, and he, like Jason said, hey, were not for your knee, you would have swept everybody. So I like to think that as well. So for all those out there listening, we're all hoping you come back bigger and stronger next year.
Ah, thank you, guys. It means a lot.
Now, how long is your rehab?
It's probably going to be about 6 months, give or take. I mean, every ACL injury is different, but that's the standard. So I'm going to just be working hard, getting into the gym, getting it strong again, and hopefully 6 months from now, maybe next September or October, get going again and go down under and do some skiing and get ready for next season.
Did you watch the Olympics at all?
Yeah, I watch it. I love watching all those guys and everybody, you know, everybody that's out there. Good friend of mine, you know, not only the U.S. guys, but guys from all over the world. I definitely, you know, I steered clear of a lot of the figure skating and ice dancing, but, you know, I watch, you know, ski slope and pipe and snowboard slope style and pipe, and I know a lot of those guys. So it was exciting, amazing to see a kid like Josh Christensen go out there and win. He got the discretionary coach's pick over me and went out there and won the gold. So I got to say, the coaches made a good pick, and either way, it worked out well for us in America. So, yeah, it was amazing to watch and celebrate.
You know, speaking of that pick, you know, we discussed it here on All Action Sports Radio, and Jeff Schmuck, you know, he talked about the chat rooms and the forums and how people were protesting that, you know, you were the guy. You should have gone no matter what. And you put out a video to kind of quell the noise, right?
I put out a video just to kind of, the whole season I kind of kept my injury a secret, just kept it to myself, my coaches, some of my teammates, and we, you know, worked through it, but kept it a secret from the public and from the media just because I didn't want to make a big deal out of it. And when I finally came out that I wasn't going to be able to make the team, it, you know, I wanted to put something out to show what the season had been like for me and how hard it had been. And for me, I was taking it so easy, playing it so cautious with my knee. It was, you know, scary. There's, you know, so much risk involved. I was kind of, you know, keeping it safe all season, waiting for that opportunity at the Olympics to finally go all out and risk it all. But apparently played it too safe and wasn't given that opportunity. And I kind of thought I was going to have a chance to just, you know, take it easy and show I could still be competitive, but mm-hmm. Our sport's too crazy nowadays. Everybody's too good. There's so many talented Americans. It's hard to keep up. It's just day by day. You never know who's going to win.
You know, you're so gracious right now. I mean, you're not. I could tell you're not bitter. You're not angry. It's just part of life's lessons and that you're getting through, and you got to work your way through it.
Yeah, it's just one of those things that happens. You know, everybody, even in skiing, you know, everybody's got to get, you know, you get hurt sometimes. That's part of our sport. It's just bad timing for me, but you never know, you know. It happens to everybody. You just got to get through it and get back on snow and be happy with what you're doing. I still got a pretty easy job if you think about it, so not much to complain about here.
No, no doubt. Now, do you have a you just put together a video. Do you plan on putting together a video on your rehab, on, you know, it's kind of like what Tanner Hall did and what Shaun White did after they had an injury. They kind of like dropped a video to let people know they were back. You have any plans for something like that?
Maybe a little bit. I mean, nothing in particular about the rehab. I mean, I'll probably put out, you know, update people, you know, blog style updates, see where I'm at, you know, months along and throughout the process. But then, more so looking forward to next season and working on another video project and stuff like that. Last season, I put out a video on iTunes called The Wallace Project, which was like, you know, one of the best videos I've ever been able to put together, filmed and edited by my buddy Kyle Decker. And looking forward to next season, getting back out and filming more, you know, big, crazy ski film action and putting something out else like that. I mean, everybody knows what a ACL surgery and recovery is like. Kind of, I mean, I'll update people, but it's not the craziest, most, you know, interesting thing in the world. So I don't know. I'll let people see what they want to see.
No, you're interesting. I remember Wednesdays. I remember Wednesdays with Wallace. Watch that frequently.
Oh yeah, nice.
Absolutely. Hey, Tom, listen, nothing but the best for you going forward. And we hope you come back bigger and stronger and you get to work on that rehab and just build that knee all the way up. And I'll give you a little hint. When it happened to me, the bike, I rode the bike like crazy, and that's what got me back.
Nice. Yeah, definitely looking forward to it. I'm getting a road bike. I'm going to get out on the real roads, hopefully in a couple weeks, and see if I can get it strong.
Well, good luck going forward. I know the X Games are in your future, and I hope you're looking forward to, where is it, Korea? Someone, how do you say it?
Oh, yeah, Seoul, South Korea.
Seoul. All right, we're looking forward to you in Seoul. Tom, thank you for coming on All Action Sports Radio, and good luck going forward.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
All righty. And we're back here with All Action Sports Radio. I like that song, man. You should have kept that one rolling. Hey, give a big shout-out to what station are we talking about? Dallas, Fort Worth, KKGM, 1630 AM. Thank you for being a part of All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. As we talked about with the ASP the last couple of weeks, the surf tour, it's underway. It's happening in the Gold Coast of Australia as we speak. And we brought on our resident surf expert here at All Action Sports Radio, Ryan Simmons. Ryan, have you been following the first stop of the ASP Tour?
Yes, I sure have.
Now, Ryan, before we get into, you know, what's been happening on the tour, on the first stop, the new rules as they stand, Dave Prodan from the ASP, the Vice President of Communications, he came on All Action Sports Radio twice to talk about one, the new rules and how it's going to affect the riders, and two, to kick off the tour. You, as a veteran rider and as an announcer, how do you see it affecting riders both on and off the tour going forward?
Well, I think it's going to be a little less confusing. So they're kind of going back to the original format of the WQS and the WCT are separate now. So you either do the WCT if you're on the WCT only, or if you don't think you're going to make the top 22, well, then you're going to have to do five WQSs and try and stay in the top 10 of the WQS. So that's how the WCT guys stay on the tour. And, you know, how they had it the last few years, it was confusing because the WCT guys got to keep WCT results in the WQS ranking. So the WQS guys had their hands up in the air like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, we're working hard, and then you're letting these guys kind of double dip again. So, you know, it's back to the original format where the WQS is itself and the WCT is itself.
So going back full circle, and I kind of mentioned this today, Prodan, was Bobby Martinez essentially right in his assessment of how it was arranged and how it was more like a tennis setup versus a competitive surf setup?
Well, I think it's just the old adage, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. And what happened, surfing started to get bigger and more prestige in the eyes of, you know, the world. And so the ASP decided, the new ASP, the old ASP, I guess, now since we're in a new, you know, leaders, they decided to try and change everything. And it was fine. It was, even originally, it was a top 44. And then they whittled it down to the top 32, so 12 less guys on the tour, and, you know, so they tried to make it more elite, and now it's going back to what it originally was because that model worked perfectly, and I think that's what Bobby, in essence, was saying, Wes, was he just said, well, why are we trying to change something that is working fine? And what happened is they got confused, you know, trying to make it a better, trying to make it perfect. You can't.
Trying to make it perfect. So, has anyone reached out to Bobby and said, hey, man, welcome back?
I don't think the ASP would ever do that, just to be really honest. If you go against the grain with them, you're pretty much done. I hate to say it, but that's the way it is.
Yeah, it was pretty ugly for a while there, going back and forth with old Bobby Martinez. So now let's take a guy like the Gutauskas brothers. Does this help them get back on the tour, this new format?
Yeah, I mean, I think it does. It's now the boys on the WQS, you got to grind it out. You know, there's probably six or eight prime events where you get to keep your best five, and you also can keep your six-star and your five-star results, but they have to be, you know, obviously a smaller rated event has to be a better result to keep it at the end of the year. So when you throw away all your results and then you keep your best five, yeah, guys like Tanner and Pat, they're going to be out there, all the prime events, all the six-stars, and I think Pat Gutauskas already has a couple big results, so maybe look to see more, you know, Californians and Americans back on the tour like we want to see.
You know, and I think you're right, because I think guys got a bad taste and they just bailed. You know, now they get a chance to prove themselves and stick around and fight a little bit harder, and both tours has a little bit of star power amongst them, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, the WQS is definitely, it's, you know, the next closest thing to the World Tour, and it's all the guys that are going to be on the World Tour if they can make it. So yeah, the WQS is huge in the eyes of the surfer and the people that know. I don't know how the public views it, but I know that the World Tour, the public views it like they're stoked. You know, the events are huge now, so compared to what it was even 5-10 years ago.
All right, well, Ryan, stick around. We're going to talk about the first stop on the Gold Coast of the ASP. So we'll be back more with Ryan Simmons and Surf here at All Action Sports Radio. All right, Ryan, we're back with All Action Sports Radio. We're in our surf segment with Ryan Simmons, our resident surf expert, and we're talking about the first stop of the ASP World Tour on the Gold Coast. All right, John flamed out early. This guy for the last few years has been the heir apparent, the next, and he just keeps coming up short. I know the waves weren't there for him, but you got to make do. And what's your best opinion on why John flamed out so early?
I was watching it the other day. Jordy lost, you know, a couple big names lost, John, and what was happening is these guys are on the Dream Tour. They're expecting really good waves. So in a 30-minute heat, like Jordy, I don't know exactly if John played the waiting game, but against a guy like Travis Logie, Travis Logie is going to always get 2.65s or 2.7s, and I looked at his heat total. It was 13.77. So I think the guys were a little caught up. First event of the year, they're kind of nervous. They thought, oh, I'm going to wait. There's good waves. And then those heats were the waves didn't come. And so you have to be kind of a go back to a gnarly competitor where Travis Logie is. And there's a lot of the veterans that know how to get it done. Okay, I need to get a five now. There's not waves breaking, where a lot of the guys just kind of said, oh, it's the Dream Tour, I'm going to wait for the perfect waves, and they never came.
I mean, but don't you already know that? I mean, we all know the. I mean, there's already been, if you go to the chat rooms and forums, people are griping about being on the Gold Coast in Australia for like three stops. They said the waves aren't there. It's terrible. If the common surfer knows it, who's not a pro, why can't John figure that out?
Well, I just feel like he wants to perform on the biggest, best waves, and because most of the stops, I mean, they have Cloudbreak and Tahiti, so just think about, like, it is the Dream Tour if the waves are 6 to 8 feet. And so there were some sets, you know, Kieran Perro, the new commissioner, oh, okay, we're going to run, it looks good. And then you just have lulls and you have changes in the ocean. He knows that, but sometimes in 30 minutes you can't gather the mind and make the decisions you need to make if you're in the other mind frame. He's in the mind frame of, like, I'm going to go huge on big set waves, I'm going to get eights. And then, you know, the other guy's whittling away with four fives and fives. And then, you know, the next thing you know, there's 8 minutes, and now he needs two waves. So then you're, you know, really up against it.
Well, you know what? Rich Porta, he's the ASP head judge. He said this. He said, important note, however, that surfers avoid getting bogged down into doing that same turn over and over out here. We want to see a variety of repertoire, and those who go above the lip will be well rewarded. So he's pretty much sending out that signal. Look, we know the waves aren't out there, but we need you to push yourself.
Well, I mean, he's just saying basically the judging criteria. He didn't really say, he's not saying anything new. He's just saying, you know, don't do the same maneuver over and over because that's repetitive, and, you know, look exciting. That's what they want to see. So even if you have to fake it on marginal waves, that's what you have to do. And those guys were just caught in 30 minutes not doing that. So it's an event that it's going to be a throwaway.
Well, that's a shame. You can see it on the forums. I mean, I read one where I'm reading one right now. He said it's not cool to see elite surfers surfing not so elite waves, having their careers compromised by poor conditions. Why are there three WCT events in Australia? One is enough. I think the commission is biased in this matter.
Well, I mean, there is a lot of Australian representation on tour. As an American former tour, I feel like we need more representation, but how do we go about doing that? I don't know. And will the new ASP back the Americans? Let's hope.
Well, I mean, this is the new improved ZOSI tour, right?
It seems to be. Samsung Galaxy. Have you watched the webcast? Pat Parnell's on there. You know, they got a good crew. They seem a bit nervous. I think everyone's a bit just on eggshells. First event, all brand new sponsors. And so I think there's even the surfers and the judging. It's speaking about the judging. They've thrown out the window of who you are in the past.
Ryan, hold that. I'm going to bring you back for like 2 minutes in the next segment. I never do this, but we're going to bring you back because it's so good.
Okay.
All right, stand by. All right, we're back here with All Access Sports Radio. I almost never do this, holding over another segment with Surf, but it was so good, and we didn't get a chance to talk about the women who are just killing it down on the Gold Coast. Ryan.
Yeah.
Good, you're there. Hey, Ryan, so, you know, Coco, she's doing it again. I think this might be her first stop for her.
You mean Carissa?
I mean, sorry, Carissa. Carissa Moore.
Yeah.
Sorry, honey. Carissa.
All good. Yeah,
not,
I mean,
sorry, honey, to ripping. You. Sorry to Carissa.
she's ripping. She's in the semi up against Stephanie Gilmore, who is the 5-time world champ. You know, the local Carissa is now 2-time world champ. So they're in semi one, and then you got a couple newcomers, Lakey and Bianca, in semi two. So you're going to have one, you know, second year or third year surfer, and Bianca or Lakey, and then the veterans and Carissa or Steph in the final. It's going to be good.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Lakey, you know, people kind of slept on Lakey, and she's really holding her own now.
Well, she's, you know, she was the prodigy youngster coming out of California, so, you know, slated to win world titles. So will she, you know, come through with it? This should be the year she's, you know, should make top five or better.
Yeah, I know that, but you know, you go back to the U.S. Open with Lakey, everybody thought – we all think you're going to be that person. You know, we all want you to be that person, but whether or not you can rise to that mantle, carry that crown, that's a whole different thing. I mean, you look at Julian and John, what we talked about earlier, and she's actually proving what everybody thought she could be.
True, and, you know, just the flip side of that is Brett Simpson, a good friend of mine, just it seems like he's letting the pressure get to him, so I guess the big show, the big tour, can get to even gnarly surfers, right? So,
yeah. Yeah, tell that to Kelly after he lost to Mick last year.
Yeah, true.
did it get to him? I don't know.
Well, he's back.
he's back with a vengeance, right?
So, Is he going to win 12? Should we just start the year with a prediction from you? Do you think he's going to win 12?
Do I think he's going to win 12? You know, I don't think Mick wants him to win 12.
I think it's going to be someone new this year, my prediction.
You know, if it is somebody new, it just spices things up. If it's the same, you know, two or three at the end of the year, it's not quite as exciting as having John or Julian or somebody else, you know, just hanging around, you know, threatening to be the next.
It would be fun to see a Jordy, Julian, or John, you know, world title.
Yes, it would be fun.
Let's get someone new in there over these old carbs.
That's what I said. It would just be a lot of fun. Hey, Ryan, thank you for being part of our show. We missed you, man.
Yeah, I know. Good to be back. Let's get this thing going.
For sure. So we'll talk to you next week on All Action Sports Radio.
All right, boys.
All right, coming up, our song of the week. And this is our song of the week here at All Action Sports Radio. Shy Nature, Lie Back.
Your head backwards, your head backwards. Lie back on the chair and play. Your head backwards, your head backwards. Open the night so I can see it. Open the night, don't want to see your eyes closing.
We're back here at All Action Sports Radio and allactionsportsradio.com. That was our surf segment with Ryan Simmons. And again, we'll be carrying the ASP tour here on All Action Sports Radio, and we'll have Ryan Simmons each and every week giving us the ins and outs and just following the tour all the way through the end of the year. This caught my eye the other day. Star Wars has now teamed up with Santa Cruz Skateboards. And this, it's so amazing. You know, I was talking to Tom Wallace earlier, and sometimes we go off mic and we talk about different things. And I was talking about my history in skiing and snowboarding. And, you know, some of it was before his time. And when I told him about some of the films and the things we did, you know, he got it. And I just remember how far we've gone in the action sports industry, like Santa Cruz teaming up with Star Wars. You know, when I came up, that was virtually impossible. That immersion of corporate and core just never would happen. And here it is in the world of action sports. Who would have thunk it? All right, that's our show this week here at All Action Sports Radio. And I want to give a big, big shout out to Pam Riddle. She's one of our producers here that helps out with talent. And she had a day today. She had a day. We were looking forward to Brian Deegan. We have to reschedule him all here on All Action Sports Radio. And that's part of the reason why we extended our surf segment. But Pam, you did a bang-up job today. Want to give a big thanks to you for all your hard work this morning and juggling the schedule for all this talent, which I know is not easy. Want to give big thanks to Jason Weingant from RacerX Online. Thank you for being a part of our show. And Olympic skier and just an all-around kick-ass guy, Tom Wallace, came in last moment to replace Maddie Bowman, who was going to be on our show, who's coming on next week, the gold medal winner here at All Action Sports Radio. And Ryan Simmons, you just heard him here on our show. Thank you, Ryan, for being a part of our show. I want to thank you, the listener, for each and every week doing your thing, following us on iPhone, your iPad, however you do it. The Twitter is going crazy. The emails are great. Thank you. I want to thank our crew, Soy Sauce Media. I want to thank Scooter. You're doing great, man. And, of course, the inspiration. We will see you at the U.S. Open snowboarding, which is happening now. We hope to have you all. God, can I just stumble my way out of this? I hope to see you, all of you there. Go have a killer week now.
Gotta buy me a big booty, woman. Big booty woman is hot. hard to find. I find my big booty woman gonna do my duty.